This episode of Grow Getters is brought to you by Grow Getters Club, a high-touch mastermind helping smart women incubate and grow their business ideas, side hustles, and passion projects together. Join the waitlist at growgetters.io/club for our next intake. Welcome to Grow Getters, the podcast helping you turn your unique genius into digital products that people want and love.
Each week, we drop the hottest hacks, proven methods, and killer tech to help you turn your expertise into income, your passion into profit, or your hobby into a hustle without the hassle. I'm Tanya Garma.
And I'm Tiffany Hart. We're the side-gigging, coffee-obsessed besties and founders of Grow Getters. We pivoted our own passion project into a profitable startup, and we know you can do it too.
So if you're ready to create a thriving, multi-passionate, multi-income lifestyle by monetizing your skills, then follow the Grow Getters podcast for your weekly fix. Now, let's get growing. Hey, Grow Getters, we are so excited today to release our in-depth chat with the free-spirited former corporate lawyer turned super entrepreneur, Sheree Rubenstein. Sheree is the founder of OneRoof, which was well known as Australia's leading co-working space dedicated to women-led business. The flagship space in South Bank saw close to 200,000 people through its doors every year. Sheree raised capital with big plans to grow this co-working empire. And then COVID-19 hit. So Sheree moved swiftly to completely pivot the business and now runs OneRoof as a fully digital membership for female leaders and entrepreneurs. In less than 1 year, she has grown the business to 700 members Australia-wide, hosted 200-plus masterclasses, and had great success amongst the community. She was named a 2018 AFR 100 Woman of Influence, a 2017 Telstra Business Women's Award finalist, and was awarded the 2016 Victorian Young Achievers Leadership Award. In this episode, I had the pleasure to discuss with Sheree what it's like to be a woman in business in today's climate and what it takes to pivot your business, plus what the future of work looks like for women in 2022 and beyond. Here's Sheree now. Welcome, Sheree Rubenstein, to Grow Getters. It's fabulous to have you here.
Thanks, Tanya. Wonderful to be here.
So tell me, Sheree, we want to know, has there been someone, something, or somewhere that has really inspired you this year?
Yeah, I want to shout out to a company called Verb Super. They are a women-led business. So they're a super fund run by women for women. And they're actually the first super fund dedicated to women in Australia. And I know the co-founders, I know the challenges that, you know, they've gone through in building their business and then keeping it going during COVID, particularly when there were a lot of talk and changes around super and people's ability to access their super as a result of the pandemic. And they've just done an amazing job. They've got this incredible business. They've pushed through the challenges. They're closing a round of funding. I'm a Verb Super member, and I'm actually about to sign up my daughter, Goldie, who's 7 months old. So she's going to be the youngest Verb Super member. And yeah, their online experience and their community where they online community where they do a lot of financial support and education for women is just brilliant. And so, yeah, I just think people who have, you know, that determination and persistence to keep going and pivot and kind of work through this pandemic and everything that's going on in 2020 and beyond, I think is really inspiring and worth talking about.
That sounds so amazing. Thank you so much for that shout out. They sound brilliant. So Sheree, you are yourself a founder. You are the co-founder of OneRoof, which designs virtual and physical spaces for women on the rise and those helping to lift them. So can you tell us about your journey in bringing your original vision that you had to life and how OneRoof, your other baby, was born?
Yeah, sure. So I started my career in corporate law. I think even before getting into that career, you know, even when I was studying law, I always felt like a fish out of water. So I think in hindsight, it was pretty clear that I wasn't going to be in that career path for long, but I found myself there. And, you know, I have many moments that kind of led me to this passion for supporting women. But one of them was I was sharing an office with a fellow graduate and we became really good friends. And one day she turned to me and she said to me, "Sheree, are you a feminist?" And I actually didn't know how to answer the question at that time. And so she sent me home that night and got me to read a lot of books and do all this research and come back a couple of weeks later. And we had another discussion about it. And, you know, I discovered that I'm really am a very strong feminist and really identify as a feminist. And I think once I'd, you know, opened my eyes to what was this passion and the issues, yeah, that were going on, I just became really aware of it. And I think the messaging that I kept receiving as a young, career-driven, ambitious woman was the fact that you're a woman diminishes your chance of success. And that was, you know, there were so many things going on. It wasn't just in the legal industry. It was in, you know, the corporate world. It's in business at large, you know, the lack of women in positions of leadership, the lack of female mentors, women going on parental leave and losing their jobs, you know, and the list goes on. And so, yeah, I found this passion and wanted to do something about it. And so I started running networking events, bringing women together to talk about. Really, it was kind of selfish in the sense that I was struggling. And then I just thought there must be so many other women out there struggling. So let's get together and chat about it. And we had great speakers and, you know, really built up these events from like 10 people. I think the first one was to like, you know, 300 or 400 people. And then I was introduced to a mutual friend of ours, Gianna, and she was also running networking events for women. And so the two of us started to run focus groups together. And so we, more than just running events, we actually wanted to uncover what were the barriers that were holding women back and what did they feel they needed in order to really succeed. And so through garnering these insights, we came up with an idea that we were going to create a physical hub for women and provide everything that women need all under one roof. And so we tested it in an Airbnb home, which was amazing. We turned this woman's two-story house into a pop-up co-working space for a week and had nearly 500 people come through the doors and engage with our offering and love it. And so from there, I continued testing this idea around Australia. We were in Melbourne, Sydney, LA, and New York at one point. And then I opened a fully-fledged co-working business in Melbourne and we became the leading co-working space for women in Australia. And then, yeah, I mean, fast forward to now, COVID hit and I've actually had to pivot a significant part of the business and turn a lot of it online. So now we're doing a virtual membership for women and running, you know, 2-3 virtual events a week with business support and pitch nights and a whole lot of different things we're doing to really help women propel and, you know, elevate them to success.
Oh, that is so amazing. And I love the fact that you were implementing design thinking methods before design thinking even became a thing. That is so awesome.
Yeah. I mean, as you would know, Gianna was, you know, a strategist and very good at the focus groups and actually, yeah, bringing women together, bringing our target market and our customer together, potential customer, and asking them, you know, what is it that you need? And I've held on to that all the way through. I think that's just informed the direction of the business, you know, the way we designed our spaces, how we run the virtual membership now. It's always been about co-designing with the women who we're supporting.
That is so brilliant. That is amazing. So Sheree, GrowGetters is a podcast that is all about ensuring women have the skills they need to future-proof their careers and businesses, which is why we feel really aligned with what One Roof are doing. And it's exactly the reason why I wanted to get you on this podcast for sure. And a huge part of future-proofing the careers of women is about building a system that can actually support women at work. So my question for you is, what does this system look like for you right now? And where do you see it moving in the future for women in 2020 and beyond?
Oh, there's so much I could say to this question. I think The starting point, I would say, is that the World Economic Forum estimates that it could take well over 200 years to achieve true gender equality. And, you know, when you put that into perspective, like literally you can think about, we might be living on Mars if Elon Musk, you know, has his way well before we actually achieve true gender equality. So I start my answer to that question by saying, you know, there's clearly a lot we still need to do and we are not there yet. And I think often people think that, you know, there's so many things going on for women. There's so many networking groups, there's spaces, there's communities, there's all this support for women. Surely, you know, the system is enough. Like we've done what we need to do. And I think the reality is we're not there yet by any means. And so I think that system, there's still a lot that needs to change in the system. I think, you know, the reality is that we're still surprised when we see women, you know, build multi-million or multi-billion dollar businesses. I think women are still penalized for going on parental leave or just simply for having children. I think that childcare is just too expensive across the board. I think that from a young age, we're still teaching girls to be perfect and boys to be brave. And there's a really great podcast on that. And that just filters through into every aspect of our lives, you know? And I think we're still very much living in a patriarchal society that doesn't value, you know, vulnerability and courage and, you know, purpose-driven. And I don't think it serves anyone. And so I think we have a long way to go. And, you know, at the same time, obviously, we are progressing. And in Australia, I mean, in the last week, we've had Adore Beauty, which is founded by a woman, Kate Morris. So that's just recently listed on the ASX. And that's been an incredible achievement as a woman-led business listing. And so we are seeing great success. And so I never want to be, you know, doom and gloom, but I think it's important to acknowledge that the system is still not right and there's still a lot that needs to be done. Where we're going in the future. Yeah. So in talking about Kate Morris and Adore Beauty, I read this amazing article today that Women's Agenda published, and it was talking about this trend of women investing in women. So the number of women who have reached out to Kate Morris since her business has gone public and said, I'm investing in Adore Beauty and it's my first investment because I want to back you and this is a great business. And yeah, they cited a lot of different examples of female entrepreneurs investing in other women-led businesses. There's a concept called CEO, which is a great example of this, of women making donations to women-led businesses and providing no interest loans. So I hope that is the direction that we're going in. And I think it's really exciting to see, yeah, these kind of opportunities come up. Obviously, this year has been, particularly for people in Melbourne, in Victoria, has been all about working from home for nearly, you know, been in lockdown for kind of 8 months. And so I think that's going to have an interesting shift and it will obviously continue well into the future indefinitely for a lot of companies. And so I'm hoping, as much as it presents its challenges, I'm hoping that it creates an opportunity for, you know, pretty much to level the playing field. So it reduces commuting times. It means that partners are as engaged in domestic and care as, you know, as each other. Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity going to come out of working from home. I think also we're going to see, and we're already seeing this shift towards purpose-driven businesses and businesses caring about not just their financial return, but also about their impact. And that is on the environment, on society, their governance structures, how they look after their employees, whether they have diversity at all levels of, you know, seniority. And I think that as consumers and investors and stakeholders, we need to hold businesses accountable to that, because I think that will be an incredible shift that's going to change a lot, not just women, but for all of us.
Do you think that shift to purpose-led or purpose-driven businesses is being driven mainly by a younger and newer generation of consumers that are putting pressure on businesses to walk the talk and to act?
Absolutely. It is absolutely a millennial-driven and younger, you know, need. And I think, yeah, I think businesses are realizing that if they don't, you know, if they're not clear about their purpose, and if purpose isn't at every, it's not just like a token corporate social responsibility thing, it's actually at the core of what they do, then they won't attract the kind of talent that they want, and they won't retain the kind of, you know, employees that they're hoping to get. And they won't, like, yes, I think it's very much coming from the younger generation. And I think it's really exciting. Like, I think that can create real meaningful change. And yeah, I think I really hope that we see this shift continue. OneRoof is a B Corp certified business. So, you know, we've gone through a very stringent process to become B Corp certified, to track and measure the way that we kind of drive impact. I raised capital that was very much from investors who weren't just looking at a financial return, but also the impact that we were having and how we were supporting women. And so, yeah, all around me, I'm seeing that impact being equally as important as the financial return. A whole lot of challenges come with that. And I have hosted a dinner with a group of impact female founders, and the number of women who cried at that table because of the challenges that they're facing as business owners and how difficult it is to run a business and have a financial return and an impact return. It's just, it's very challenging, but I think it's important that we all hold each other to these standards.
I 100% agree. And I do honestly believe, and it's the ethos of GrowGetters, that the more women at the seat of the decision-making table, not only having a seat at the table and leaning in, but being decision makers in business, in government, it's just critical for things to shift. And I 100% agree with you. I hope this is going to be driven more and more by the younger generations and businesses becoming more accountable, which is challenging, like you said, but I think it is super, super important.
Yeah.
And if you look at the ideal environment in your mind for women in the future, what do you see as the defining characteristics of the utopian female working environment, or, I mean, like unisex working environment, but for females? What does that look like?
So many things. I think that leadership needs to be built on empathy and authenticity. I think that you see, you know, Jacinda Ardern as a Prime Minister of New Zealand is a really great role model of a woman who, obviously not a business owner, but as a politician who really successfully brings empathy into and authenticity into her leadership style. I think that the flexibility, so even if we do return to some kind of normal, whatever that means now, but, you know, return to the work, that flexibility is still going to be really important and having a hybrid of working from home and being at work. I think that we really just need, like, the world just needs to recognize that women bear children and that, like, children exist, and that we just need to kind of work out the workplace with children in mind. So, you know, we did this at OneRoof where we had a breastfeeding room and, you know, businesses that have areas for kids to come and play while people are taking meetings, and, you know, with kids holiday programs. So there's a member of OneRoof, they're called Kids Co, and they run on-site kids holiday programs. So businesses actually having an area where their kids can come during the holiday so they can keep working and they're looked after and they're, you know, doing great activities, and it's school holidays. Yeah. And so I think designing, like, the physical space is really important. So having women in mind when you design that physical space. And as I said, that's things like the breastfeeding room and, you know, all these, and not just for women, but just generally for well-being, having great breakout areas and meditation rooms and exercise on site, and, you know, having that, like, really just well thought out physical environment. I think that, you know, other things that need to be implemented are really good parental leave policies, not just for women, but men as well. I think that people at the top really have to care about diversity. They need to be reporting on it. They need to care about it. They need to put money into it. They need to be investing in mentorship and sponsorship opportunities. Blind recruitment, I think, is a very important process that needs to be implemented. Yeah. And then, you know, again, coming back to being purpose driven and not just doing it as lip service and not just doing it as a tick the box, but actually making that part of a measure of success.
Wow. That's a very comprehensive response. I love your vision, Cherie. It's so inspiring.
Can I actually add one thing? I've just been thinking, like, the number of women who I've spoken to who have said, like, the stress that they've experienced from doing a Zoom call while having kids in the background, you know, like running amok in the chaos. And like, I've been breastfeeding while on Zoom calls. I just think that needs to be the norm. Like, that is, like, why do we pretend that the children don't exist? Like, it should just be, it is chaos. And so let's just bring the chaos to the fore and make people feel comfortable about it. And I think then, just shift a lot.
It's just been so internalized and ingrained in us that I'm also a staunch feminist, but I will admit to you, Tiffany and I did a webinar last week, had a podcast webinar, which was live. And at one point, because it was in the evening, my 5-year-old was heard screaming in the background because my recording room is incidentally also his Lego room. So I think he wanted access to his Legos. And I felt this burning shame. Mm. And I asked myself afterwards, why? This is life. This is life. You're right. Kids are not a secret. They shouldn't be hidden. We shouldn't have to defeminize or denurturize ourselves to perform. I think you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. And in fact, I also interviewed another entrepreneur from Munich, Greta Grace, who mentioned in a previous podcast episode that when she was working in corporate, she was actually fighting to have one extra day of leave per month for her cycles, that women should have that for their cycles. Because, I mean, that is also, I guess, part of the female experience. Not everyone is a mother, but most women have to deal with this in some way, shape, or form. So it is, you're absolutely right. It's an environment that needs to be provided, but it's also a mindset shift. And it is in all of us. And we need to start switching those gears.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And can you share any examples of businesses or organizations, including yours at OneRoof, who are already making this happen and making this ideal workspace for women?
So I actually, just before lockdown, I met an amazing leader, and her name is Amy Childs, and she is the MD at Momentum Energy, so an energy company. And she took me on a tour around her office. So they'd literally just done this incredible renovation and moved into a new office in the CBD in Melbourne, and then everything went into lockdown. But the design of the space, like, firstly, her pride in the space and the way that, you know, every detail had been thought about. Like, how do people want to interact? Have we thought about, you know, people who need to breastfeed, people who want to meditate, people who need a nap? Like, really just thought about everything. And to the point of having, like, you know, the kind of materials that she worked with and looking at sustainability options and supporting Indigenous communities with the design of the walls, to making sure that it was fully disability accessible, like even in the layout of the breakout areas and where you sit to eat lunch, and just her whole ethos and her leadership style. And she describes it as the Amy Childs leadership, which really is what I've already been saying, that it's all about empathy and, you know, understanding. Like, she just says her role is to understand her employees and to notice if an employee, and she's got, I don't even know how many, a few hundred, or I don't know, you know, a lot of employees that she's looking after. You know, her role is to recognize if an employee has been coming to work for the last few weeks and, you know, wearing the same clothes, and what, you know, what's going on in their personal life, or like, she gets on the phone to customers to support them, and, you know, especially during this pandemic. So I just think, I think that she is a great example. And I think then it just trickles down into the whole environment and the workplace. And, you know, energy, that's not a sexy industry or something that, you know, kind of is exciting necessarily specific to women. But I think to have a female leader, or any leader like that, that just seems like the most exciting place to work and the most exciting environment to work in. I would say other companies like Atlassian, I think they do a lot of really interesting things to support women and have a really great work environment. I think Lululemon has always been particularly interesting to me, just the way that they have been able to engage community and They just have an incredible ethos and an incredible leadership style. And I feel like every single person who works at that company, and it's a huge company, they just love working there. It's like, I don't know what goes on there, but it's like just an amazing environment. And then companies that are led by women. So, you know, like your Adore Beauties, Canva, Envato, I think these kind of companies. And again, when there's a female at the top or someone who really cares about these things and cares about gender equality and diversity, they're going to create an incredible work environment.
Oh, God, that sounds so inspiring. I think I'm going to have to get Amy Childs over to the podcast somehow.
I'll introduce you to her.
Please do. She sounds brilliant. Wow. And so, Cherie, tell me, what has been the most gratifying moment since One Roof launched?
There's many moments, I could say, but I'm going to say one that you wouldn't think is the most gratifying. And so this was, so basically when I took on this site in Melbourne, and it was a massive space and we ended up being there for nearly 4 years. But when I took on this site and turned it into a co-working space, it was owned by developers. And they said to me when I moved in, we don't know how long you're going to have. We'll give you a good deal. But as soon as we get permits, we're going to need to kick you out. And they told me initially I might have 18 months. And initially they only gave me kind of one building. And then I convinced them over time I needed both buildings. And then somehow it got to like nearly 4 years later. And I'd built up this incredible business and became well known as the leading co-working space in Australia for women. And so, you know, I was thinking about that end date, but it was kind of just something in the future. And I just kept wanting to build the business and do all these great things and support people. And anyway, mid last year, I got the call, and that was really challenging because I hadn't signed a lease on our new location yet. And so anyway, I had to go through the pain and the tears and all of it of telling all the members and having to help them find somewhere else to go and packing up this, you know, 500 person co-working space. But the most gratifying moment was we did like a goodbye South Bank party, and we invited all our members and event clients and anybody who'd been involved in the One Roof journey to come along. And so we had like a couple hundred people attend, and it was just the most, like, I just don't even have words for how amazing this event was, the effort that members put in. And it was so clear the number of members who felt like One Roof was theirs and that it really was their home. You know, they did videos and they wrote this whole song that they surprised me with and just told stories about what One Roof had done for them and this environment and that they were excited for the next phase. And yeah, it was a really emotional moment and an incredible moment that helped me to remain focused and motivated to keep going, because, you know, you're hit with these massive setbacks all the time, like massive. Like, I am a co-working business that is about to lose our bloody space. Like, it doesn't actually get any worse than that. But yeah, you just have these like reasons to continue on and to keep going. And yeah, that was a real moment where I was like, I can't give up. And I was pregnant at the time, so I probably was even more emotional than normal. But yeah, it was an amazing moment and an amazing night that I still think about a lot.
Oh, that's gorgeous. It sounds like that all of the ladies that work under One Roof have so much love for the brand and the company and the home that you've built. So I can understand that. That sounds really moving. It's definitely moved me. I've got a few little goosebumps here. That sounds beautiful. And in your time at One Roof, what are the three biggest lessons you've learned from the women who have worked within One Roof's doors or under One Roof?
Yeah, I would say firstly, just sheer persistence. I think that the successful entrepreneurs are literally the ones that just don't give up and keep persisting even when they hit rock bottom. And it might be that they need to pivot and they need to reinvent in some way. So it's not always that you just stick at a business if it's not working, but they keep going and they find a way and they, you know, they kind of fall down a trapdoor and then find a way out and fall down another one that takes you even further than the last one, but then find a way out. And so, yeah, that persistence is huge. I think they all are able to get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable all the time. And I think You know, a lot of them experience the self-doubt. All of us experience the self-doubt, the fear, the days where you're like, I can't do this. I'm not made for this. I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not a leader. I'm not a manager. I'm nothing. Like, what am I doing? And you get comfortable with those feelings and you realize that they're just feelings and they're just moments, and you just get more resilient and you just keep going. And so, yeah, getting comfortable with that discomfort, which probably has helped a lot of them during this pandemic, because that's a real, you know, point of saying, like, of true realization that you can't control much, and there's no point having a 5 or 10 year plan, because it just, plans are made to go out the window. So yeah, that's a big one. And then I would also say just the whole thing around perfectionism, which I think is a big thing for women. So just, you know, not waiting until something's perfect or until they feel 100% perfect, like just getting it out there. I'm a big believer in that. And, you know, I've just recently, as I said, pivoted the business to a virtual membership. I mean, I did that within a month and at the same time had a baby and, you know, just was in lockdown and all these things going on. But, and obviously it's so far from perfect. Like, it was literally, let's just get it out there and see what happens. But I think that that's a really important skill. And I think a lot of the women at One Roof and a lot of the female founders and entrepreneurs I know who are successful and who continue to build out their businesses are not aiming for perfectionism. They're just comfortable with it, you know, being at a certain standard and getting it out there and iterating along the way.
Oh, I can definitely identify with all of that. And I think most of our listeners absolutely can. These are really sage words of wisdom. Thank you so much. I just want to quickly circle back to that ideal workspace for women. Do you have any tips or insights that you can help people to try and recreate this in their own environment, in their own workplace? So they may be working for a company, or they may be a female founder, or they may be working leading a team. Are there any nice quick wins to just try and inject some of that female friendliness into the workspace?
Yeah. So a few companies I know of that can support with these things. So Work 180 is a business led by women, and they're basically like a certification or an assessment tool that measures a company's ability to create a conducive environment for women and be a great kind of employer of choice for women. And if you don't reach their standard, then they will train and teach you in how to get there. Circle In is another company, again, led by women. They started at One Roof, actually. So we ran a big pitch night where they first launched the business and have since gone, really scaled it, raised capital. I think they've got like 25 staff now or something. They're quite a decent sized company. And Circle In provide support and a platform for large companies to make it easy to stay in touch with employees when they go on parental leave, and then to support them as they come back into work. So again, like a really important platform tool that can be used to support people going on parental leave. There are companies like Applied Recruitment and DivTal is another one. And these are companies that support in diversity training and in supporting with like blind recruitment tools. I think I know a lot of Brené Brown, Daring Greatly kind of certified facilitators. And I think that bringing in those kind of facilitators to work on that, you know, that leadership style around empathy, vulnerability, courage, I think that's really important. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I mean, in terms of the design and layout of a space, I think the co-working industry, you know, has a really good take on the way the functionality and design of spaces and how to bring in technology into the design. And I think co-working has done a really good job of, and this was a big thing at One Roof, of it's not just about designing the physical space, it's also what goes on in the space and, you know, having community managers who are there to support and create community and bridge the technology with the physical space. Like, so I think learning from the co-working industry, there's a lot, especially, you know, like a One Roof or other co-working spaces that actually take into account and really care about women and you know, putting that into practice. So yeah, I think the co-working industry, there's a lot to learn from.
They are some amazing resources. Thank you so much. I've personally just learned a lot right now. Wow. That's awesome. I actually know one of the founders of Circle In. She was an ex-client of mine. So I've also been tracking their journey and they're really doing some amazing stuff. That's fantastic resource. So Cherie, finally, our last question for you. For all leaders, managers, and founders out there, both men and women, what is the most powerful way they can help lift up women at work and create a space conducive to women's successful development?
I'm going to say the most important thing is to invest in women. And I guess there's probably two parts to that. There's invest in women financially. And so, you know, whether that's backing a female entrepreneur or investing in women's, you know, leadership, in mentorship and sponsorship opportunities and programs. So I think financial investment is just like number one. And then I think it's also, and we have touched on this already, but I think it's investing time into understanding women and their needs. And you know, it comes back to, we discussed it before, but that design thinking concept, you know, really putting, co-designing an environment with women in mind. Like, it's so funny the number of times that people at corporates and organizations have come to me asking me, what do you think women need and what should we do? And I just, my response is, ask them, like, you have women working in your company and how, you know, how does that bit get missed? Like, really sit with them and listen and understand what they need and get them to come up with the solutions of how a workspace should be designed to ensure that they thrive. And I think the last thing I just want to add is I really think parental leave is huge. I just think that is a game changer. And it's not just about women going on parental leave. It's about men going on parental leave and not just offering it to men, but actually creating a culture that says it is okay for a man to go on parental leave. And that comes from the top. So you need to have men at the top taking their parental leave. And so I think that's huge as well.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much, Cherie, for your candidness, your generosity, and honestly, so many valuable insights. And I'm not just saying it, but this is probably one of the best interviews that I've done to date for Grow Getters. I've learned so much and I feel very inspired right now. Thank you so much.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks for having me. It was great fun.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Grow Getters. If you love the podcast, then we know you'll love the club. Introducing Grow Getters Club, the intimate mastermind for global grow-getting women like you that holds you accountable, attracts your kind of people, and cuts through the clutter so you can get crystal clear on your zone of genius, whatever that might be. No matter what stage of your business journey, our community of brilliant, like-minded women are all working together towards the same goal, clarity for their one big thing.
Grow Getters Club is a perfect blend of everything you need to launch your side hustle or scale your business in no time. You'll get exclusive access to expert-led masterclasses and events covering the hottest future skills topics so you stay on top of your game. You'll tap into the brains of a cohort of incredibly talented and diverse women you can collaborate with via regular co-working and peer-to-peer skill exchange sessions. Our live roundtable workshops will help you working on your biz in real time using mirror boards to track your progress, and the accountability of an intimate group will keep you on track to achieve your wildest dreams.
Best of all, you'll be part of a growing movement of women who are taking active steps to future-proof themselves and encourage each other to thrive. So come and join the waitlist for Grow Getters Club at growgetters.io/club. Our next intake is coming soon, so make sure you sign up today.